KPIX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is holding his final news conference at the State Department. He's been closely involved in Gaza ceasefire talks, which appear to have hit a snag. ABC's Jordana Miller is in Jerusalem.
Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu accusing Hamas of reneging on parts of the deal after it was announced Wednesday by the U.S. and others. Hamas denying that, but Israeli negotiators still in Doha trying to resolve the dispute. And until that happens, Netanyahu says he won't put the ceasefire deal to a government vote for approval.
More hearings for President-elect Trump's cabinet nominees, all of whom appear to be headed toward confirmation. The American Cancer Society says cancer deaths have gone down in the United States, but women under the age of 65 are now being diagnosed more than men in the same age group. Longtime Milwaukee Brewers Hall of Fame broadcaster Bob Uecker has died. He was 90. A statement from the Brewers says, "We are heartbroken." This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For 92.7 WMDX News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Last year, educators and advocates were thrilled when the legislature passed a bipartisan law to overhaul how kids learn how to read in Wisconsin. We joined other states moving toward what's called the science of reading approach. It's backed by data and research. Now, if you're going to take up a project that big, it's going to cost money. But schools are still waiting on that money. Here's Jimmy Kuska.
Wisconsin's new reading program under Act 20 could be on its way towards being an unfunded mandate by the state legislature. $50 million is held up in the Joint Finance Committee over a disagreement between Republicans in the legislature and Governor Tony Evers on how the money should be spent. The already approved funding was tabbed for materials and training for staff at schools to implement phonics-based literacy for elementary school students. If the money isn't released by June 30th, the funds go back into the state surplus.
State Superintendent Jill Underley has demanded multiple times now that the legislature release the money that they promised. The Madison Metropolitan School District is starting renovations paid for by you, the taxpayer. Voters approved a $607 million referendum for the district in November. $500 million of that will go toward capital projects. District staff say they've already started working on those plans. They expect to do all these projects in three phases. And up first, we'll be replacing the buildings at City High School and Black Hawk Middle School and Gompers Elementary. There will be public meetings in early March where people can contribute their ideas and give feedback. City High School, Black Hawk, and Gompers are expected to be finished in 2027. Phase two will be Tokey Middle School, Orchard Ridge Elementary, and Cherokee Heights. And the final phase will be to rebuild Sennett Middle School and renovate Anana and Crestwood Elementary Schools. School board members plan to release one update every month on planning and construction to keep the community informed about their progress. Meanwhile, the school board will vote on a construction management company at its meeting January 27th. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. You're listening to 92.7 WMDX News.
The Bucks win again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks at home against the Orlando Magic. Milwaukee with another hot start, scoring 19 points in the first quarter, on the way to a 122-93 win over the Magic. The Bucks have now won four of their last five. Damian Lillard led with 30 points.
Just over this last five or six games, I think we've definitely been putting the type of efforts together that we need to, regardless if it's home or on the road. You know, we're starting to feel what it's like when we do what we're supposed to do.
The Bucks host the Raptors tomorrow night at 7. NFL, the Packers' Matt LaFleur will have to hire a new quarterback's coach. At age 71, Tom Clements has decided to retire after 14 seasons overall in Green Bay.
Man, it's been a cool ride with him for the last 3 years. He's incredibly consistent. What a great man, great mind. Obviously, he's had the opportunity to coach some of the best. I mean, when you talk about Favre, Rodgers, and then the development of Jordan Love. I mean, that's pretty cool.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
More clouds than sunshine today and mild. High temperatures climb above freezing to the mid-30s. But it's breezy, with winds out of the northwest gusting up to 30 miles per hour. They'll switch out of the south by tonight, warming us up tomorrow to highs flirting with 40. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Right now, it's 35.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Here's what the WSJ had said after J6. This week has probably finished Donald Trump as a serious political figure. Boy, that hasn't aged well, has
it? No, not at all.
The Wall Street Journal. So after what they just said 4 years ago, Maggie, they couldn't bring it upon themselves to say that guy who did that shouldn't be anywhere near the White House again. Nope, couldn't do it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
What's worse, fast drivers or slow drivers? Karina listening on WAUK in Milwaukee.
Slow drivers are the worst. They think too slow. They stop in the middle of the highway to think about where they're going. Maybe they need to turn left and right. They're changing lines for, oh my God, I can do all day long.
Karina?
Yes.
Can you tell us what you really think?
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time for a special edition. Jeff Wright, candidate for Wisconsin Superintendent of Public Instructions, will be here live. We'll spend a half an hour getting to know him and why he wants the job. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2.
A new choice. Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff, coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. It is the same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. In case you missed it, breaking news, just as we were coming on the air about an hour ago, Bob Uecker has passed away at the age of 90. We will be talking more about this with J.R. Radcliffe from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel at 11:33. All kinds of accolades pouring in for Mr. Baseball, and all kinds of articles now popping up about some of his best appearances and his one-liners. And he was a very, very funny man and beloved.
Yes.
Bob Uecker gone at the age of 90. Again, we'll talk more about that. With J.R. Radcliffe, if you would like to share some of your memories, some of your favorite memories of the Uke, you can always text those in, again, at 855-752-4842. And a reminder, right after our show, from noon to 2 p.m., it is the fantastic Todd Alba. He's going to be joined today by Trigvi Olson of the Lincoln Project. He's also going to be speaking to Jeff Wright, who's one of the candidates running for Wisconsin State Superintendent of Public Instruction. And every day between 1 and 1:30, Todd and Aaron Zommers, his producer, do What's Worse.
Ah, yes.
It's so great.
What was yesterday?
Yesterday was What's Worse, the Kardashians or cilantro?
Well, that's not even a contest.
Right?
Kardashians.
But I checked some of the texts. It was not entirely all anti-Kardashian, but my favorite one, whoever texted in, the Kardashians that were are the worst, at least cilantro has some value. I will love you forever for texting that, because I completely agree with you. The Kardashians, I despise that family.
Jane, what do we have on the hopper for tomorrow?
Tomorrow is a very, very special show.
A very special episode. Do.
Specially curated program for you. We have a big meeting here at Civic Media, so we will have a specially curated for tomorrow. We're going to do some pre-recording today with Luke Mathers about some of Donald Trump's appointments, the hearings, the cabinet appointee hearings are going on this week at Capitol Hill. We'll go into next week. Sean Duffy, Wisconsin native.
Just sliding into that appointment with zero problems.
The Department of Transportation. So we will talk about that with Luke Mathers tomorrow.
Yeah.
And then we will have a special hour number two. We're gonna highlight the return of Beyond the Cheese.
Yeah. So if you listen, you're gonna hear a replay of the second hour of Monday. It was just a great show. Beyond the Cheese, talking about sending soup back, and then we have the tisbat of the day. So yeah, check it out. All pre-recorded. Listen, enjoy.
Check it out. Exactly. We do have an update.
On who, Jane?
On the knuckle-dragging mouth breather Eagles fan who was verbally assaulting. That's how I refer to it. I've seen some sports reporters with some headlines that I am not happy with.
Yeah.
Calling it boorish behavior. Calling it behaving badly.
Yeah.
He was verbally assaulting
boys
this woman.
Boys will be boys in the locker room,
yeah,
Jane.
No, that's no. I'm no. sorry. No. He repeatedly called this Packer fan, who was sitting in front of him with her fiance, a dumb, ugly C word.
Yeah.
Over and over and over.
And I don't know. I mean, it's a further discussion on why people will be so kid gloves with this story. The man is disgusted.
Yes.
Saying reprehensible things, which any one of those individuals who wrote like such, you know, using such language that you just referred to towards a daughter, a mom, a sister, a wife, I don't think they'd see it as boorish or bothersome or, you know,
slightly over the top.
Yeah, just a little too much. It's overreacting. No, you'd be insane. I would be in jail right now if that happened to me.
And someone said that to your wife?
Oh, super jail. Like it would just, I'm not proud of that. I don't want to react like that. But if someone called my wife that, I don't know what would happen. So this idea that you can be like, oh, it's also like, it's just Philadelphia. They're.
Yeah, I'm really sick of that excuse too.
Yeah.
Philly fans are the worst. You know, that's just what happens in Philadelphia. I don't care.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't care.
To be fair, though, that's a weird group of people in Philadelphia.
That's what I'm reading.
Yeah.
But I still don't care.
No, and you shouldn't, and we shouldn't. He should be he should and has been held to a certain standard. There have been repercussions in the wake of his actions.
Yes. Thank you to Andrew from Maine, who actually sent me this link via our email.
What's that email, Jane?
It is Jane Says, JaneSays, Jane Says, at civicmedia.us. It is the quickest way to get in touch with us. It's impossible to have a dialogue on the text line.
Yes.
Because that means I have to go through all of the prior texts of every show.
Yeah.
And the conversation gets lost. So if you want a dialogue, use the email.
Yeah.
Same for if you have a guest that you think we should have. If there's a topic in your community that you think is really important and needs some light, please let us know. Jane Says, JaneSays, at civicmedia.us. And thanks to Andrew who sent this in. Here's the headline. Eagles fan Ryan Caldwell breaks silence on vile video, apologizes for actions that were not without provocation. So there's his out.
What?
There's his out. Ryan Caldwell, the disgraced Eagles fan, captured on video heckling.
Ugh.
Not heckling.
No.
Allie Keller, a female Packers fan, repeatedly calling her a ugly, dumb C word, issued an apology yesterday after he got fired from his job. Guess what kind of company he worked for?
He worked he's a former employee with a group called BCT Partners. BCT Partners, and on their website, they use processes, their solutions are to solve complex problems through collaboration, using things to mitigate unconscious bias. That's basically they work in the world of DEI.
Ah.
And as well as like unraveling your prejudices against, like, whether it's women, whether people of color, whether it's immigrants, they want to make you understand
aware of
people's struggles and everyone's equal and everyone's good and give people chances. This trash pile worked for them, and now he no longer does. Think about it. I have their website in the show notes. Go to their website, scroll down the whole thing, read it, see the pictures. And then think of this guy. He worked there.
He missed the seminar.
Oh, my gosh. All the seminars.
Caldwell explaining in a statement to the New York Post that the video circulating online does not reflect the full context of what transpired, and my actions were not without provocation. While attending an NFL game last Sunday to support my beloved Eagles, an incident occurred that I deeply regret. Yeah, you didn't seem to be regretting it when you kept calling her a dumb, ugly C word.
Yeah.
What began as banter with two Packers fans sitting near me escalated to something more serious, and I said things that were unacceptable. In the heat of the moment, I chose unforgiving words to address one of the fans. I want to sincerely apologize to Ms. Keller for those words and to my wife. He has a wife.
Mm-hmm.
My family and friends, my former employer and colleagues, Packers fans, Eagles fans, the Philadelphia Eagles, the city of Philly, all who were offended. That said, there are two sides to every story. The video clip circulating does not reflect the full context of what transpired. My actions were not without provocation. I will live with this experience, and I am certainly paying a personal price. For those who don't know me, this incident does not reflect my values or the respect I have for others and is not indicative of the person I am. I don't know, dude. You seem pretty comfortable with calling her a dumb, ugly C-word over and over and over again. And his buddies who were standing by him seem just fine with it, too.
Yeah. There was no one tried to stop him. Besides the Packer fan. And the woman, like, once again, I'll say before, I'll say it again. The way she handled him was just like, okay, all right.
Yes, this is, I am. Does that make you happy?
It was really, excuse me. I can't stop with this website. This company looks amazing. They have positions like managing director of health equity, director of children and families. There was one that I thought was great. Chief growth officer. Like, this is a company that deals with trying to make society a better place.
Yeah.
And he worked there.
Unbelievable.
By the way, his wife, and they said family, he has a daughter too. So my whole thing is, going back to it, what would he have done had I just dared say something like that? This whole two sides to every story, and you know now, and I'm sure then too, well, what did they do to provoke him? There's nothing you can do, in my opinion,
That justifies this.
And I'm a man. I control myself a lot when I get upset. I want to say crazy dumb things. I don't want to say things like that. But I control myself. Because there's no situation in which I look great by letting my anger and this sort of petty vengeance win.
Mark from Prairie du Sac is on the line, 855-752-4842, if you'd like to join us. Good morning, Mark. What do you want to say about this?
Well, he's probably going to soon be offered a job by Donald Trump and company.
Boom!
And there will just, that it is just the meanness that it's out there. I mean, we all have these moments of, there are women out there that are, you just can't use that word. I mean, no matter how nasty you consider, that woman, that or what evil you think she has done, you just simply cannot use that word. I mean, I can remember Samantha Bee was having a conversation about this, whether you should use that word or not, and it's a word a man should never use. I mean that,
we've just entered a new era of vulgarity, I think, Mark. And as I said on Monday, and my husband pointed out, God, you were really crabby. I give a lot of credit to Donald Trump for coarsening the discourse of our society. Thanks a lot, DJT. Thank you, Mark. Really appreciate it. When we return, we're going to change it up. Brittany Merlot will be here with a little weather and wine. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on air on the vast statewide, countrywide, we're global, baby, on the app, Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
This is Chad Spate. Are you thinking about improving your home? At Chad's Design Build, we're proud to offer remodeling done well with love. And our commitments to you and your home convey that love and spell our name. The Chad's experience is structured to provide excellent communication, honesty, accuracy, detailed proposals, and satisfied customers. We're also committed to making your home comfortable, healthy, attractive, durable, and sustainable. If you want a quality remodel and a quality remodeling experience, go to ChadsDesignBuild.com to learn more.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Our recent reporting explored the massive contributions to Donald Trump's inaugural fund, reportedly reaching $170 million. What are the rules as to how that money is spent? The short answer is, there aren't any. The Federal Election Commission allows private donations to support inaugural activities. This year, that's a parade, a rally, two luncheons, a tea, three dinners, three inaugural balls, and fireworks at Trump's Sterling Golf Club. The FEC requires reporting of donations over $200, but sets no limits or dictates how it's used. Let's say that the Trump inauguration has 12 events and they cost an astronomical $2 million each, a whopping $24 million. That leaves $146 million left. When the inauguration is over, will we know how the leftover money will be used? We won't. While a Trump campaign source told the New York Times some would be used for Trump's presidential library, there are no rules dictating how that money is used. The Inaugural Fund Integrity Act is expected to be reintroduced in Congress in January, which would set a limit of $50,000, require immediate disclosure of contributions over $1,000, and ban corporate and super PAC donations. That's a start, but the legislation still doesn't require disclosure of how that extra money gets spent. Find out more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
This is Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Welcome, welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calviente on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. It is the same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream, on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Jabba the Musk continues to actively ruin. By the way, if you do elect to watch on the live stream, we may break out in chair dancing at any time. You never know.
Yeah, totally.
It could absolutely happen. Also, J.R. Radcliffe from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel going to be joining us after the 11:30 news in case you missed it. Sad news this morning, breaking news. Mr. Baseball, Bob Uecker, is gone at the age of 90. All kinds of tributes coming in for Bob Uecker. And if you have any favorite memories or stories that you want to share about you, please text them in. 855-752-4842. We will wrap it up as we do every day with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the
Hawaiian style edition.
Yeah. Hawaiian style edition. Right now, though, she joins us every week at this time for a little weather and wine. Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot is here. Good morning, lady. How are you?
Oh, I am hanging loose like a surfer riding this warm wave right now.
It almost feels like I don't know, March.
Right? It's not bad.
It's not bad.
I'm not complaining, especially with what we have coming ahead. So
how long
get outside now?
Yeah. So how long are these milder temps going to last? This is Wisconsin whiplash weather.
Oh, absolutely. I would say they're probably going to last about another 24 hours or so before that cold front moves through tomorrow afternoon. But there is something very interesting happening. So this is going to slide some warmth in tomorrow afternoon where we are going to hit highs in the 40s. But I was just looking, we could near 50 degrees potentially into areas from Janesville through Milwaukee. There's like a little slice of heat that really wants to hit tomorrow. So, oh, feeling like summer, like you said, Hawaiian, before reality hits.
Yeah, don't do that because my daffodils are going to get all confused and they're going to start sprouting.
Right.
And it's too soon. It's just too soon for you. Because as you said, Brittany, the rest of today, most of tomorrow is going to be great. And then comes blasting through. And this is going to be colder than what we've had for the last week.
Oh, yeah. This was just practice.
Yeah. Because
goodness,
a little cold up.
Seriously. Right. We are going to go from temperatures, you know, in the 40s all the way down on Saturday. We'll be in the single digits to teens. That'll be our highs. And it's going to be windy too. Gusts up to about 30, 35 miles per hour. And it stays windy this whole period. So we drop below 15 below potentially Saturday night into portions of northwest Wisconsin, probably near zero down south. But then Sunday, we don't statewide get above zero. Everyone stays below zero from Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and then Wednesday we start a little bit of a climb. Thursday we'll have some relief. But I'm thinking Sunday night and Monday night are going to be the worst, where temperatures could be nearing 20 below, plus the winds on top of that.
Whoa.
Wind chills are going to be about 30 to 40 below.
And yes, that is dangerously cold.
It is. It really is. I used to joke, it all feels the same at some point, but this is serious cold.
Yeah. If Luke Mathers is listening right now, I'm calling in sick next week. It's cold. It's too cold. Yeah, it's... Now, we know that going beyond 10 days is futile in meteorology worlds, but do you see this... do you see this lasting for a little while? Like, is this going to be kind of our existence through February? Where, I mean, it's weird. February will probably get even colder because that seems to be now the most bone cracking list cold month of the year.
Yeah. So as I'm looking forward, the deep freeze is really going to be from Sunday through about Tuesday.
Yeah.
After that, we're going to get to temperatures in the teens to low 20s, and it holds steady from the teens to low 20s for highs for pretty much the end of the month. And I'm looking for any snow in the future. And really, for us in Wisconsin, it's just going to stay north off of Lake Superior from the lake effect and the cold air. All of the systems keep sliding south. They're really going to be hitting Illinois hard and into Michigan. And really missing us every single time. There's one expected on Thursday next week, sliding south, and then one to end the month, which maybe that could scrape areas of, you know, the state line and in towards Milwaukee. But again, that's so far out. But
yeah,
the trend,
yeah,
keeping the snow south.
What for? We got about 3 minutes left, Brittany. What should people look out for as far as frostbite is concerned and hypothermia? There are still people who have to work outside.
Absolutely. So frostbite is interesting. It kind of comes in different forms. First, you're going to get frost nip. So you're going to get all these warning signs before the actual damage is done. But when you start to have the tingling in your fingers or toes or ears or even on your face, that's the time to get inside, warm it up. Never, ever rub it. If you're going to rub it, you think, I'm going to get warm.
Sure.
Yeah.
No, you are going to damage the cells. Your skin is essentially freezing. The cells are freezing. So if you're going to rub it, you're going to damage it, and that's going to, you know, cause further damage down the line, and you can't fix that.
So just get inside and just let yourself be.
Yes. And you know what I like to do if you're outside working and you can't get inside or something like that, because I've been outside doing live shots, stuff like that. I stick my fingers, you know, in between your armpits or your legs, something like that, but don't move it. Just let it absorb that body heat and it'll help. At least
that's really good to keep in mind.
And of course, it goes without saying as well, if we're not going to be out there, keep your pets out of the outside, keep them inside at all costs with this kind of deep freeze.
Absolutely. This is not the time to leave any dogs outside. If you do, make sure there's heat in that doghouse outside.
Yeah.
Bring them in, check their paws. The salt damages their paws too. And you know, if they're sick or older or younger, their body heat is just like ours. Everyone is different. So how they handle cold can change from pet to pet. So pay attention. If they're burrowing and hiding and whining, they're probably starting to get some hypothermia. You have to be careful of that too.
Yeah.
Well, keep an eye on the pets. Keep an eye on yourself and stay safe and stay warm. Brittany Merlot joins us every Thursday at this time for a little weather and wine. Thank you so much, my friend. We will see you next week.
Thank you.
Stay with us. News coming up next when we return. J.R. Radcliffe from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel to talk all things remembering Bob Uecker, who has passed at the age of 90. You're listening to Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Voice for Madison, real news and great conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun.
It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For 92.7 WMDX News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson. We've lost a true Wisconsin original. Bob Uecker has died. The Milwaukee Brewers made the announcement this morning. After a career playing, he became the voice of the crew in 1971. He was on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson more than 100 times. Carson is the one who named him Mr. Baseball. You'd need a solid hour to talk about his extraordinary life. He'd been battling lung cancer since 2023. And you can help brighten Valentine's Day for Wisconsin veterans, but you only have a couple weeks. Melissa Kay explains.
The Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs is asking people to help show our veterans how much we appreciate their service and sacrifice. This will be the third year of a new tradition and helps brighten the day for veterans living in housing and recovery program locations in Chippewa Falls, Green Bay, and Union Grove. You can mail your cards no later than January 31st to the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs, Attention Veteran Valentines, P.O. Box 7843, Madison, Wisconsin, 53707.
And a cranberry farmer is on a mission to restore Wisconsin wetlands, and he's doing it by building what he calls mock beaver dams. Jim Hoffman lives in Alma Center. He first got interested in this idea after helping a Nordic skiing buddy release an orphaned beaver on his property. They built basically a fake beaver dam and included a stuffed teddy bear for company.
And we dropped the beaver in it. The first thing he did is swim right down the culvert and started swimming around the pond. Unfortunately, that was the last we saw of the beaver named Broadus.
Mock beaver dams can pool more than 500,000 gallons of water during floods. Hoffman hopes to mimic the natural features of beaver dams, including enhancing wildlife habitat, stabilizing eroded stream banks, and improving water quality. There are only a couple other projects like this in the state. I'm Savannah Tome Olson. You're listening to 92.7 WMDX News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. If you're looking for a trip down TV memory lane and were a fan of the show Twin Peaks, this might pique your interest. The murder mystery drama set in the Pacific Northwest will be available on Blu-ray box set. In addition to all the seasons, there will be 27 hours of behind-the-scenes and extra features. The box set doesn't officially drop until February 3rd, but you can currently pre-order it on Amazon for a cool $56. Actors work odd jobs to pay rent before their big break. For actor David Schwimmer, one of the gigs included serving divorce papers after his freshman year in college, thanks to his lawyer mother. The Friends actor and star of the new show Goosebumps told Stephen Colbert he once served singer Rod Stewart with divorce papers. Apparently, Alana Stewart, Rod's wife at the time, no longer wanted his body or thought he was sexy. Goosebumps is available to stream on Peacock. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
More clouds than sunshine today and mild. High temperatures climb above freezing to the mid-30s. But it's breezy, with winds out of the northwest gusting up to 30 miles per hour. They'll switch out of the south by tonight, warming us up tomorrow to highs flirting with 40. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 35.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The John and Gordy Show.
Costco is building apartments above its stores to address the affordable housing crisis starting earlier this year. Walking downstairs and getting a $1.50 hot dog, Sam.
Man, that's just the dream.
Gives new meaning to the affordable walkability.
John, you're very excited about this.
This is my dream come true.
Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on 92.7 WMDX and the Civic Media app. John Peterson and Gordy Young.
On our next show, Jimmy Kay is in for Rocker with a Max Inc. preview.
And we'll tell you about the John and Gordy Great Ticket Giveaway.
You won't believe who we've got tickets for.
The John and Gordy Show, weekday mornings 6 till 8.
¶¶
Welcome back to Matt Mayer on Air. Jane Matt Mayer, Greg Box, Sweet Calby on the board. Coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-7542. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Just a reminder, tomorrow night, hockey action, Wisconsin versus LIU. Our broadcast starts at 6:30, and you can catch the action tomorrow starting at 6:30 on WFHR 97.5 FM, 1320 AM in Wisconsin Rapids. Wisconsin takes on LIU in hockey tomorrow at 6:30. Joining us every other Thursday at this time to talk all things sports, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel sports guru J.R. Radcliffe is here. And this broke just as we were coming on the air this morning, J.R., the loss of Bob Uecker, Mr. Baseball, at the age of 90, and all kinds of tributes coming in and lots of clips from him and all of his appearances on Johnny Carson. And what a remarkable career he had.
Yeah. Yeah, he really, I mean, he's one of one. It's not, everyone knows that, you know, it's for those who just know him as a baseball broadcaster, they maybe don't even know the history that he has in pop culture as a guy who went on Johnny Carson a lot, the Miller Lite ads that are iconic nationally, but locally, of course, but nationally as well. You know, he's in Major League, of course. I think most people probably know him as Harry Doyle from Major League.
Yeah.
People outside of the state of Wisconsin. And then to us, he is the voice of all of our childhoods. I mean, I said this on Blue Sky, but, you know, as an announcer, as a radio announcer, for as long as he did it, for more than a half century of broadcasting games, he can be the voice of my childhood. He's the voice of my kids' childhood. He's the voice of my parents' childhood, you know, and even my grandparents are young people listening to Bob Uecker on the radio. And how many people can give you that sort of shared experience? You know, we all hearken back to things that we loved when we were young and learning about something like baseball. And we all can understand what it's like to be young listening to Bob Uecker and the self-deprecation, the funny storytelling, but also just the voice of the summer, you know, and for it's such a rare thing to all kind of be able to experience that together. He's an experience. He's a man, of course, but he's also just something we associate with great vibes, with baseball, with growing up. So it's really tough to have to say goodbye to that. He's 90 years old. You knew it was coming at some point in the not too distant future, but it doesn't make it easy. It actually hit me a lot harder than I thought it would.
Yeah.
I was a little surprised. It was it's tough news.
Well, and he has been, you know, scaling back a little bit over the past couple of years. Obviously, he wasn't doing all the road games like he used to do. That's a grind for anybody.
Oh yeah. Understandably, he's a very private person. He did, you know, he's been in the public eye for 55
years,
more than that, like 70 years since he's been a baseball player. So understandably, he doesn't share too much. We knew that something was up because at the end of the season, you know, it was just handled a little differently. He didn't do all of the playoff games, which is kind of unusual. They were at home. He was back in the booth for the final outs of of game three. And, you know, Christian Yelich really was emotional talking about him. Christian Yelich and Bob Uecker have forged a really special sort of relationship over the last few years. And you could tell something was not great. And that, you know, no one knew what that was. We didn't know that Bob Uecker was sick. You know, the Brewers have said that he was battling cancer. We didn't know that. He didn't want to share that. And that was fine. Of course, you respect his privacy. But in the back of your mind, you're thinking, was that it? Was that the last time we'd hear him? I mean, again, 90 years old, we thought the same thing last year, the year before. Like, it's always something that's going to be on your mind. You don't know how close it is. You don't know if, you know, is it going to be another year or five? I mean, who knows? So we knew something was not quite right. And, you know, I was hoping the news would be, oh, Bob Uecker's just decided to finally take a break, step away.
Yeah.
He can enjoy the last.
Or like, this is his last year announcing this, and we will celebrate him for one full season.
Yeah. That's what I hoped was going to happen
or
something like that. You know, at the same time, he loved Brewers baseball more than any of us. I mean, he was doing what he loved until the very final moments of his life. And that's something that, you know, we could all aspire to. So in that sense, it's a very wonderful life lived to know that he was able to be part of you know, generations, every Brewers fan, because he started broadcasting in 1971 and the team started in 1970. Every Brewers fan, with rare exceptions, from that first year. have heard Bob Uecker on the radio.
What an incredible through line for through, like you said, JR, through generations. Tom from New Berlin texting in. Uecker told a story about how he was on the Dodgers in a playoff game batting practice. He was in the outfield shagging balls as the high school band was there. He grabbed a tuba and started catching balls with the tuba. It cost him $250 for that stunt, but it made everybody laugh.
Man, the MLB just has no sense of humor sometimes. I swear to God. You know,
and that's decades ago. Even then, they didn't have a sense of humor.
You know, honestly, like, you're saying all those things, and we were talking about earlier with Mike Clemens, our sports guy, JR, and I really feel lucky to have grown up in the 80s and 90s at peak Ukeness. He was everywhere. Like, but, you know, I didn't watch The Tonight Show because I was a little kid back in the 80s. But, you know, Mr. Belvedere, Major League, the Brewers, the Miller Lite ads, the Johnsonville Brat ads. Like, he was just ubiquitous for us. But, yeah, he's like, you know, baseball fans know Vin Scully. Baseball fans,
Harry Carey.
It was the one I was thinking of.
I would say Harry Carey is probably the only other baseball announcer off the top of my head I can think of who's as known as Bob Uecker as far as famousness. You know, you like the fans know the announcer, baseball fans know the announcers, but he and Harry Carey had this, I don't know,
appeal,
a magic about them that just really appealed to people. And whether it was Harry Carey, who was usually drunk by the second inning, or Bob Uecker, who had that dry, beautiful wit.
Yeah. And in the 90s, you know, I grew up in the 90s. I think we all probably have a story, but I remember listening to Bob Uecker as a kid when they're on the West Coast. I'm staying up late. I got a boombox in my room in the North Woods of Wisconsin, listening to Bob Uecker and Pat Hughes call games. That is, and like I said earlier, that's not a unique experience for any of us. But the 90s were tough. The Brewers they sucked. Yeah. The Brewers were awful. And so how perfect was Uecker, the storyteller, the, you know, like telling stories from his past. He's probably told the tuba story online a bunch and stories about, you know, how teams didn't want him and like they didn't want him going to the plate. Very, you know, famously a much better player than he ever gave himself credit for. While not being a star by any means, he always played up that part of it. And how do you not relate to somebody like that? How do you not relate to a guy who's, you know, out here painting a picture for you of a bad baseball game, but also, you know, while you're here, let's just sit around and chat. We'll talk stories. I mean, that style of broadcasting is hard to find, you know, like there's so many broadcasters I respect, but I don't want to call it robotic and make it sound too pejorative, but there's a very specific way that games are called now. And it's guys who come up who are my age, you know, that it's just, there's just not as much personality. I don't think there really can be because I think fans demand, especially because we have TV as a medium, you know, if you're going to the radio, you want those facts. You want those things that you can't see a lot more because you're used to having them with the TV broadcast. So it's really hard to develop a rapport with your fan base where you can take those risks, essentially. I mean, I'm sure we don't think of Bob Uecker as a risk-taking broadcaster, but to just take an inning off and just talk about this time I was with the Braves and, you know, I was catching fly balls with a tuba, that would be really, really annoying, I think, to somebody in somebody else's hands, but not in his, because he's just such a master storyteller.
I think also the magic X factor too, that is, you know, and I also don't want to be pejorative. I don't work in your world, JR, but the reason why we had those individuals, those great broadcasters, because they lived a life too. They lived a big life. They had experience. And Bob Uecker being a player, I think, makes all the difference as well. I mean, there are knowledgeable broadcasters out there who've never played, but they know the game. But there's something about listening to someone who has played the game tell those stories in a way that's just different than anybody else, and tell those stories about life on the road. Maybe getting rid of certain details that aren't radio friendly, but it's still that, you know, it's like listening to a grandpa or a grandma tell a story, you know, tell me another one.
It's gold.
Yeah.
They were all golden.
And how important to just not take yourself so seriously. I mean, Bob Uecker is a kind of a national celebrity, but he's a longtime broadcaster. And then in 1989, he's willing to be this foul mouthed announcer, Harry Doyle, in this kind of scrappy little sports comedy, Major League filmed in Milwaukee. You know, no one thought that was going to live in the lexicon of great sports comedies or comedies in general. No one thought that was coming, but Bob Uecker thought, hey, I get to do some of my own stuff. Let's go. Let's give it a shot. You know, that self-deprecation is just so essential to what made him great. And, you know, the wit, his Hall of Fame speech. I don't know if people, maybe they're spending some time with it today. Back in 2003, when he was given the Ford C. Frick Award, his deadpan, like, I don't think people realize how good of a deadpan he had with Carson. And then certainly this Hall of Fame speech really exemplifies it. He's just delivering these lines left and right. Like, it's so serious. You'd have no idea that if you just followed his disposition, you would think he was giving a very serious, morose speech.
Yeah.
But you hear the words. It's just ridiculous. He had the place in stitches. I mean, he's a stand-up comedian.
Yes.
He really is.
Yes.
He has that wit, the wit and the sort of improvisation of a stand-up comedian. The life that you talked about, he's got that baseball experience. And he was the whole package and such a unique person at the same time. There's no one like him. There really isn't anybody quite like him.
I would encourage people to go on, almost all of Johnny Carson's shows are on YouTube.
Yeah.
For free through his website. So type up Johnny Carson, Bob Uecker, and the same thing as what like you get with a Don Rickles interview. It's just going to be hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he really is a comedian. And Mr. Belvedere, like you mentioned, is something that I know is near and dear to a lot of people.
Yeah.
I mean, there are two statues of this man at Miller Park or American Family Field now, of course. I don't know how they're going to further acknowledge him if they do decide to do that. He is the face of Wisconsin sports. You know, Vin Scully is one of the rare other examples I can think of where like an announcer transcends like the biggest athletes, the greatest Milwaukee Brewers players of the past 50 years. There's some good ones, but even if you go up as high as Robin Yount, he's not the bigger face of this franchise. The franchise is
known exactly
because of Bob Uecker. Bob Uecker is Milwaukee baseball.
Yeah.
And he had such a good relationship with the players too. You know, like everybody loved him. He really had that rapport.
I wanted to mention just a little bit about that. He genuinely loved these guys. He genuinely loved these kids who were playing. Yeah. And I think his ability to help mentor them and, you know, just guide them. It was just so apparent that he wasn't faking it. This was his love.
Mm-hmm. He had a locker in the clubhouse, so like he would go down there and they would welcome him. This is not that long ago, you know, like in his 80s, he's hanging out with players and sharing stories. And, you know, Christian Yelich being that emotional, I think just illustrates he really did, you know, there wasn't an age gap there. He just really could be friends with these players and friends with people in this organization. And I mean, I think that came through the radio too. You know, we all felt like he was our friend. He was giving us these funny details and whatnot. So, even as of a couple of years ago, he looked really spry to me, upper 80s. It looked like he was still raring to go forever. You know, he was looking in really good shape. And then just lately, I guess it's been a little different.
But something you said earlier, JR, made me think too, during the years when the Brewers were terrible, it was him telling those stories that made it all bearable. And and that's why you tuned in. If they weren't necessarily going to have a great game, you knew Uecker was going to bring his best game. Yeah.
Yeah. And even in addition to that, you know, later in his years, I don't think it's a secret, you know, the play-by-play probably, it wasn't as sharp, you know, understandably, the man was in his 80s. Like, you weren't getting those details you might get from a different announcer. That's probably not why you tuned in anyway. But when someone hit a big home run and Bob Uecker's on that call for get up, get out of here, gone. Yep. I mean, I have goosebumps right now because I didn't want anyone else saying those words. I didn't want anybody else telling me what was going on. You know, you could feel the crowd behind him, the voice, all of it. Like, I think of Ryan Braun's home run in 2008. I mean, there are some moments where big Brewers moments, you're just so glad that he's there to tell you, you know, what you kind of already know, but to tell it, you know, call it through. I mean, he was pretty remarkable at that stuff too.
Absolutely. Well, Milwaukee Brewers, Milwaukee, all of Wisconsin, lucky to have Bob Uecker for as long as we had him. Yeah. Bob Uecker passed away this morning at the age of 90. J.R. Radcliffe joins us every other Thursday from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Thank you so very much, J.R. Really appreciate your time.
You bet. See you guys.
We'll see you in a couple weeks. Stay close. We're going to wrap it all up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing, Hawaiian Style Edition. Don't miss it. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
A new choice. Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away. So come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Native American voters prevailed in federal court against the state of North Dakota, protecting the ability to elect the candidate of their choice. January 13th, the U.S. Supreme Court refused to hear a redistricting case we covered back in May 2024, affirming a North Dakota federal appeals court decision. The appeals court had dismissed a state house district challenge by two non-native residents who claimed their rights were infringed. The case dates back to 2021 when the Mandan, Hidatsa, and Arikara nations, also known as the MHA Nation, negotiated with the state to protect native voting power under the 1965 Voting Rights Act, Section 2. After an agreement, state GOP officials later shamefully reversed positions in 2022, embracing a new GOP tactic which argues such majority-minority districts are a violation of the Equal Protection Clause under the U.S. Constitution. The same argument has been made in Robinson v. Calais over Louisiana's now two majority-minority districts. The MHA Nation decision protects North Dakota State House District 4A and three other districts. Great news for Native voters. But the Louisiana case is expected to be heard in the High Court in early 2025, and the conservative justices seem to have made it their mission to dismantle the VRA. We have links to the history of the case at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Welcome back to Matt Mayer on Air. Jane Matt Mayer, Greg Buck, resident young person Calvin on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Before we went to the break, we were talking to J.R. Radcliffe from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel about the passing of Bob Uecker. Passed away earlier this morning at the age of 90. And off the air, Greg and I were talking about this, and then Cindy texted in from Wausau listening on WXCO. Maybe they should change the name of the stadium to Bob Uecker Field.
Amazing.
That would be amazing, Cindy. That's not going to happen. There's too much money involved, but maybe they could do it for a day.
Yeah. And I mentioned maybe rename the broadcasting booth section after him.
Uecker booth?
The Uecker booth.
That would go over big.
Yeah, I mean, I just feel like that this season's going to be, regardless of how they play, it's going to be very special, and I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, opening day is going to be beautiful, and they'll probably have a memorial service there for him as well. I would love to try to be there. But, yeah. Yeah, it's the
end of an era.
Yeah, absolutely. And like JR said, like, just there's not a lot of broadcasters like that anymore.
And there probably never will be again.
Unfortunately
not. Coming up tomorrow, we have a big staff meeting where we're going to do a full spa day. I don't know if you were told about that.
I signed up for the Manny and Petty. Did you?
Excellent. Yes. So we're going to have a specially curated show for you tomorrow. Mm-hmm. We're going to pre-record with Luke Mathers right after we're off the air with some things we didn't get to this morning because of the passing of Bob Uecker. And then we're going to do a replay of some of our favorite stuff from earlier in the week. That will be happening tomorrow starting at 10 a.m. Things just going to be a little bit different tomorrow again. We have a big, big meeting where we'll be all the, you know.
Wait, there's a meeting? I was told it was a spa day.
It's a spa day. There's a short meeting where they will beat us about the face and neck with sticks. It's going to be fine. It's all going to be fine. It's 11:54, Calvin. That means it is time for...
This shouldn't be a thing.
If you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at Jane Says, JaneSays, Jane Says at civicmedia.us. This from Yahoo Life. Headline reads, UK pizzeria reignites pineapple debate with $120 charge. Lupa Pizza in Norwich, England, usually charges around £12 for one of its meals. That's about $14. Mm-hmm. Pineapple lovers who want pineapple on their pizza will now have to pay £100 if they want that on their pizza. It's available at the restaurant's delivery menu alongside with the caption, sure, for £100 you can have pineapple on it. Order the champagne too. Go on, you monster.
And it comes with flicking the V in your face too. If you know England, you know what that means.
For our co-owner Francis Wolf telling the Norwich Evening News, I absolutely loathe pineapple on a pizza. The move has renewed hostilities in this long-running dispute. A former UK finance minister weighed in that pineapple on pizza is appalling. So far, the row has remained mainly verbal. The restaurant owner writing on Facebook, we are looking forward to an influx of pro and anti-pineapple campaigners voting with their feet and wallets. Little scuffle in the streets. We will televise it.
It almost seems like this is being more done for attention than it really is. And so I don't hate pineapple on pizza.
I have never tried it.
I knocked it down for years and years and years and years. And then finally someone said, have you ever tried it? I said, no. And they said, try it. I had a little bit. I liked it. Immediately my first thought was, dang it.
I like it.
Wrong. I will never order one. I don't want an entire pizza of one.
I can see a slice of it being tasty.
But don't knock it till you try it. And if you don't like it, that's fine. But there's such a visceral hatred for it. And I would bet 65% of the people who are like, disgusting, have never tried it.
And I'm one of those people because I used to rag on this all the time. And after talking to you before we went on the air and with the saltiness of the ham, I can see it. One slice, though, because a whole pineapple pizza would be a little kind of sweetness overload.
That's too much.
Tony on the live stream says, what are they doing? They are removing the best pizza. Two arms, pineapple fans.
You know what I would do if I lived there? I'd walk in, I'd order a cheese pizza, and I would just open it up, and I'd throw ham and pineapple in their face, be like, ha, I've gotten around your silly little rule.
You've been foiled.
Ha!
Nice try. That wraps up today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
We have news coming up next, followed by the one and only Todd Alba, noon to 2, Maggie Dawn, 2 to 4, Dom Salvia, 4 to 6, Peach Waba lightening it up with Nightlight from 6 to 8 p.m. Pat Kreitlow gets it going early tomorrow morning from 6 to 8. And then Earl Ingram right before us here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers. Without you guys, nothing works. No joke. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It means the world. I hope you find some joy today, even if it's just a little bit, and you have the chance to share it. Stay right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Have a great day.
This is Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Hey folks, Jimmy K here from Max Inc. Radio. Join me this weekend as I welcome Isaiah and the new people. Plus Terry chats with jazz musician Janet Plant. It's Max Inc. Saturday and Sunday, 6 to midnight across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Clothes that fit your style and your life. At Equability, they adapt your jackets, pants, and more for dexterity or mobility challenges. Feel confident, comfortable, and ready for anything. Visit equability.co to make your clothes easier to wear today.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
This is 92.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The fragile Gaza ceasefire and hostage release deal running into a few hurdles even before the first phase is set to begin on Sunday. ABC's Jordana Miller says it appears those details have been ironed out for now.
It appears that the disputes which had held up this deal have now been resolved. And we're hearing from a senior Israeli source that Netanyahu, the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, will convene his security cabinet tomorrow on Friday to approve this deal.
The Biden administration says it does not plan to take action that would force TikTok to immediately go dark for American users on Sunday. An administration official tells ABC News it's up to the next administration to implement the ban that kicks in January 19th, since the Chinese-owned company didn't find a seller. Winds easing in Southern California, giving fire crews a bit of a break on those wildfires. This is ABC News.